The Lord is good, and He has prepared us and brought us and has made the way for us. And He opens our eyes that we may see and our ears that we may hear. And I just ask, Lord, please help us to hear the things You have been speaking. And Lord, we thank You that You love us and care for us, and that You provide for us a dwelling place. You are our dwelling place. We thank You, Lord, that You have covered us with Your righteousness, Your blood. Thank You and praise You, Lord. I have been looking at for some time, and I don't remember how long ago it was, a couple of months, I think, spoke on dwelling, abiding in the Lord, and having a dwelling place in heaven, in Him. And that the Lord provides for us in these provides us the dwelling place for us to be safe, for us to be fed, for us to be nurtured, and to be changed by His presence. You know, the scripture tells us, and I meant to write this down, and I did, but I can't find it. The scripture where He says, when we see Him, we will be like Him. That's what's happening in the dwelling place. And the Lord, there are many, many scriptures that include abiding and dwelling place. And I read a couple of weeks ago, and I think in an opening, out of Isaiah chapter 55, and actually I'm going to look at 54. I didn't tell you an untruth on purpose. beginning, because of the things we are facing, we have an inauguration of a new president, we have many changes that are going on, things that are unsettling, things that are give us hope. We are just surrounded by the Lord acting according to His purpose and causing things to happen according to His purpose. And so I would like to read a little bit out of chapter 54 of Isaiah, beginning in verse 11. The Lord is speaking to Israel. Actually, I want to start in verse 9. I'll settle down after a minute. For this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore that the waters of Noah should not flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony, and your foundations I will lay in sapphires. Moreover, I will make your battlements of rubies and your gates of crystal and your entire wall of precious stones, and all your sons will be taught of God, taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. In righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. If anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be from me. Whoever assails you will fall because of you. Behold, I myself have created the smith who blows upon the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work, and I have created the destroyer to ruin. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Continuing on in verse 55, the Lord is, these are familiar verses to us, but I want them to be heard. Chapter 55, 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. And instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to you for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. The Lord is declaring here who he is, what he is doing, and how much he loves his people. And that he will not forsake us. He did not forsake Israel. He will not forsake us. He's declaring here at the end of chapter 55, I don't know if you recognize these verses, but the nettle and the thorn bush, that's the curse. He's declaring that the curse is going to be turned off. That there will be freedom and peace and joy and rest in him. And we have that. We have been given that. He has shown us that. He is continuing to make himself known and to prove himself over and over again. We have the opportunity, and he wants us to take the opportunity to stand before him and to recognize that he will provide for us, that all these things that we need come by wine and milk. You have no money, come, that's verse 1 of 55. If you thirst, come to the waters. He's saying, come to me. I'll give you the water of life. You who have no money, we have no means to buy. We have no earnings. We have nothing that we can, that commends us to riches. We have no money. Come by and eat. He is going to provide for us. come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Delight yourself in abundance. He is promising us abundance. He has performed all the work of bringing forth the Messiah, bringing forth according to his purpose, that all things will be made right. All things will be covered. All things, the curse will be no more. And he will provide for us. He wants us to be with him. If you go on down to verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. He wants us to dwell with him. He wants us to abide in his presence. He wants us to be embraced by himself, by the Holy Spirit. The Lord God loves us and cares for us, and he will take care of us. He will lead us forth, verse 12, for it will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before us. Throughout the scriptures, the Lord promises to take care of us, and he promises to cleanse us and to make a way for us. And he speaks of bread, actually, let me go on. I ask that you hold on to these thoughts. These things, much of what is said here, much of what I have read, is familiar to us, and yet it is a promise. It is something that the Lord has promised us, and it will come to pass, and it will be we will be provided for. We will be able to seek him and find him, because he wants to be found. When the Lord came to the earth to be with us, to be God with us, he came on purpose. And his purpose was to cleanse us, to shed his blood that we might be cleansed from all unrighteousness. And the Lord, in the book of John, there's a lot that the Lord has shown us, and he speaks about it. There's the woman at the well is one of those things. And I'm going to come back to this and probably read it again, but he declares here in chapter 6, in verse 35, and he declares it again later, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. He is going to provide for us. He is the bread of life. He is the bread of life that is spoken of in Isaiah 55, come buy and eat. He is that bread. He is the bread that we eat. He provides for us. In John 6, is the testimony of the feeding of the 5,000. They were hungry. They came out to him because they were hungry in the heart, and they needed to be fed. And the Lord was going to provide for them. He knew they were coming. He knew what he was going to do. He was going to provide a testimony as to what the prophet Isaiah was speaking about. In other words, what he's saying here is, they were there, they were drawn there by the Father to hear him, to see him, and he wanted them to understand, and he wants us to understand, that he is providing. He has made everything available to us, and he will not ignore our needs. And that we will not accomplish, this will not be accomplished by man's thinking. Again, in Isaiah, my ways are higher than your ways, as high as the heavens are above the earth. He has provided for us. He has made security for us. We are safe in his hands. No one can snatch us out of his hand. He will bring us to heaven in the last day, because we will be with him, and he wants us to be with him. He is making the way for us to be with him. The Lord wants to show us himself. He wants us to see. He wants us to know. He wants us to be embraced by being with him, by being us being together, is the testimony of Jesus. His hearing and knowing what he is doing, seeing what he is doing, the difficulties that we face and seem to surround us, he has overcome. And he wants us to know. He wants us to trust him. And in chapter 6 of John, he says, I'm going to begin in verse 4. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing what a great multitude was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread that these may eat?" Now, this he was saying to test him, for he, Jesus himself, knew what he was intending to do. The Lord, this entire situation was caused by God to be a testimony as to who he was, and a miracle and a sign of his kingship, his lordship, of his being the Son of God. He was demonstrating with the power of God, by the power of God, who he was and what he was doing, and that he cares for his people who are hungry, and that he cares for his people who desire, who thirst for righteousness. He cares for and provides for what we need to eat. And spiritually, he provides for us the bread of his word. He is the word, John declares in the first chapter of the gospel. He is the word. And it is having the word. The testimony was given today. Peter shared that the Lord, the Lord is giving us, allowing us to see him, to know him, to call upon him, to be enriched by him. As he shows us in his word, as he acts, just as he acted here before all this great multitude and provided a great miracle, they missed it and misunderstood that he was providing food for them to fill their bellies, and he provided food for them for sustenance. But what was more important was that he was declaring by his sign, by this sign, that he is the Son of God, that he is the one. He is the bread of life. He declares it. In going back to verse 6, he said this, he said to Philip to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. And he needed to test Philip. He needed Philip to know. He needed Philip to think about this and consider who he was. Philip answered him, where are we to buy bread that these may eat? Philip answered and said, 200 denarii worth of bread, which is almost a year's wage, is not sufficient for everyone to receive a little. The ways of man, things of the earth, were not sufficient to provide for this crowd that Jesus had brought together. He had called them to himself, that they would hear him, that they would hear his word, they would know and see who he was. And even seeing him, they denied him. They didn't understand who he was. They couldn't grasp that he is the Son of God and that he was there providing for them. And I hesitate to use the word practically. He was provided what they needed to be filled. He provided what they needed to continue. They were hungry, and he provided for that hunger. But they were also needy and hungry in spirit. They needed to know him. They needed to know who he is. And he was going to, and he did demonstrate that. And he goes on down towards the end of the, further on in the chapter. So he'd fed the multitude, and there was a demonstration of plenty. Philip offered a speck if they had a lot of money, which they didn't have. Jesus multiplied the offering of this little boy that they could fill themselves to be full, and they could gather up more than they started with, much more than they started with. They started with just a lunch or a meal that this boy brought with him as he was going to travel and walk and be away from his home. And they had plenty. They had all they could eat and gathered up more than they had started with. So the Lord, and I'm not going to go into the walking on the sea. It's a different point that he is showing here, but he is demonstrating to the apostles who he is. And so the multitude comes looking for him, and they can't figure out where he has gone, and they are struggling in the things they see and the things they can touch and the things that they don't understand physically. How did the Lord get to Capernaum when there was no boat? They missed and misunderstood the sign that he was giving, that he was providing, and that he not only was providing, he is the bread of life. He tells them in verse 27, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. They said to him, therefore to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, verse 29, answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. We, in our abiding together, in our dwelling together, in our being with him, he will prove, he wants us to trust him. He wants us to see him. He wants us to know that he is at work, and he wants to show us. He wants us to trust him and to believe that he is the one sent from God. The crowd, the bulk of the crowd, or much of those who heard what he was saying, didn't understand what he was talking about. They were, the Lord saw their heart, and they were looking for someone to take over. They were looking for a king. They were looking for someone to drive out the Romans. They were looking for someone to provide for them. And he does provide. He is providing. And they claim, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, verse 31. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven, and that's himself. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. They thought that because God provided for their forefathers, that they had status, they had a standing, they had the law, they had the teaching of the rabbis, and they misunderstood. They misunderstood that Jesus is providing for them not because of what happened in the past, what their forefathers did, and their forefathers didn't do things very well. Just like they wanted to do things the way men do things, and they were overwhelmed. Just as Philip said, 200 denarii would not be enough for everybody to have just a little. So they, he declares to them that my Father, end of verse 32, my Father who gives you the true bread, that is himself, out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. That is our Lord Jesus. And they said therefore to him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. Here is a promise. He is providing for us spiritually. He is caring for us. He is going to take us, lead us, and we will not be cast out. I have come down, verse 38, I have come down out of heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, God the Father. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. Again, he has the power. He is able. He is making a promise to them. And they still struggle. The Jews were grumbling. Truly, truly, verse 47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. I am what you need to eat spiritually. I am what you need to see. I give you the water of life. Later on, he speaks on, I am the, verse 51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he shall live forever. The bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. He's giving himself, the flesh that he came in, to be true food for all of us who believe. And he wants us to believe. He wants us to see him. He wants us to know him. He's given us his word and all of this testimony that we may know him and that we may be like him and be changed into his likeness. Verse 53, Jesus therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh," verse 54, "and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven," himself. "This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever." Jesus is declaring very clearly, but the words are difficult and hard to understand, and certainly not what they expected. And it goes on to declare and say, or the account continues, and many of the disciples, verse 60, because this is a hard saying, this is a difficult statement, who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before?" We know that he has gone. We know, we have seen, it has been declared to us. We have seen and heard his testimony in us. We have our brothers and sisters who have gone before us, have gone to be with him in heaven with the Father. Verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh, our flesh, profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some among you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that did not believe and who it was that would betray him." It says in verse 66 that many of the disciples withdrew, not walking from him anymore, walking with him anymore. And verse 67, "Jesus said to them, said therefore to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you?" And Simon Peter declares, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Lord Jesus spoke through Simon Peter, gave the testimony of his life. "Lord, to whom shall we go? We have no alternative. Much of our lives on the earth are about making plans and looking for alternatives and trying to figure out how to get bread when we're in a desolate place, and how we survive through the curse and the nettles and the briars, the thorns. The Lord Jesus provides for us. We need to trust in him. We need to seek him. Ask. He wants to answer us. He wants to fill us. He wants to give us life. And we have life because of him. He is able. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you, Lord, that you carry us through the trials and the difficulties that surround us, that are part of this life in this world. We ask you, Lord, to be with us as in the upcoming days as we fellowship together. Lord, we want to see clearly who you are and what you're doing, despite the many things that we don't yet know and don't yet see that will take place, the threats, the blusterings of the enemy and the world. But you have overcome the world, Lord, and you have given us life, and you have paid for our sins that we may be in heaven with you and the Father and the Spirit forever. In your name, Lord, we do pray and ask, Lord, that you would grant us vision, grant us hearing. You provide the word, the bread of life. You provide the water, the blood, Lord, for us as true drink, spiritual things, Lord, that you have given us because you want us. We need to have them. And Lord, we ask that you help us to believe in you. Give us the faith to believe you are who you say you are, and the things, even though we don't understand, that we can trust you and that you will cause things to come to pass as you desire them to be. All things will be made, will be cleansed and made whole. Thank you, Lord. Guide us, help us to trust you. In your name, amen.
I realize we have gone into overtime, but if you give me two more minutes. I don't believe that I'm a prophet, and I don't believe I have a vision of the future. But given the tenor of the meeting this morning and how I feel or how it appears to me that the Lord has led in the songs and the prayers and the ministry of the word, so what if, also I think it's in Amos, there's a verse where the Lord says that whenever I'm going to do something, I tell my prophets before I do it. I'm not a prophet, but I could be used as one for a moment. And so my thought is, what if things change dramatically tomorrow? Now, we're expecting dramatic change. And a lot of folks are expecting positive change. But what if something cataclysmic happens tomorrow? And the only reason that I even bother to say it is, what if it's like so bad that we don't even, next Sunday we're not coming back together here? I'm not saying that it is. But what if? I would say, well, man, I really wish that I got up and I encouraged the saints. And here's what I would tell you if the big thing happens. Nothing changes. He's still in control. Now, we will be quite upset. And there would be a whole lot of things to wonder about. Well, what about this and what about that? And who's in charge and all this stuff. But nothing changes in that we look to him. And all the encouragement we have had this morning is he's there. He is there for us. Psalm 91. Just like everything that's been said this morning is like, I got you. I got you. You just keep eyes on me. Eyes on me. Now, let's just say, yeah, I'm not a prophet. I'm just a fool. And the cataclysmic change that is coming tomorrow is the good thing. And, the good guy's in office. And there's a lot of great things that happen. Nothing changes. You must look to him. It'll be a great relief, and we'll be, oh man, I'm so thankful. This guy did that, and that lady did that, and this, all these wonderful things, and it'll be very easy to trust in horses and men's wisdom and all these good things that we're hoping to come. Nothing changes. We must look to him. You got to see through the bad to see who's in control, and you get to see through the good that it's his blessing. So either way, steady as she goes.
One thing for sure, we are up for some changes, aren't we? Personally, worldwide. But there's, we are definitely a blessed people. We are in the place, it can't be much better except to heaven itself. And because of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. We're following him. He is in control of everything in the world. He protects us on the right, on the left, from behind. He leads us ahead, and he's inside of us too. Amen. So he's everywhere you can imagine, it's Christ. And what a wonderful place we are, you know, to be in that position with him. And the word says that all things work together for those who love God. They work to it for the good. So standing on his word, watching him. Amen.